shepherd this Sunday in our gospel, we will hear about Jesus and his role in shepherding, and he as good shepherd of all of us. And of course, I can imagine that someone doesn't know that today also we celebrate Mother's Day. We pray for every mother that is here. We pray for our mothers who are not here, mothers who are still alive, but also mothers who are in the past. We ask for the living mothers, for blessings from God, and for our mothers who are in the past, eternal life. In the place of the penitential act, today we will have the rite of sprinkling with the Holy Water. Dear brothers and sisters, let us humbly beseech the Lord our God to bless this water he has created, which will be sprinkled on us as a memorial of our baptism. May he help us by his grace to remain faithful to the Spirit we have received.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can take them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can take them out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My power is made perfect in weakness. My power is made perfect in weakness. Those are the words of Jesus Christ to Paul, to strengthen him, to show him that God's ways are not the ways of man, that the weakness of God is stronger than any strength of man. And the most apparent weakness that we just experienced was during the Triduum, the passion, the denial, the rejection of Christ, the torturing, the passion, and the crucifixion. And we are still in Easter season celebrating that he conquered death and rose again. Easter Sunday is gone, but we still, before us, every time we enter into a Catholic church, we experience and our eyes see the most apparent weakness of God, where he allows himself to be locked up in the tabernacle, in a metal box, locked with a key, exposed at times for adoration, exposed to distribute communion. But nonetheless, God is jailed. And there are some paintings of Christ behind bars in the tabernacle. There's a theme with God, that everything is diminutive. It is not the grandeur that we think where might makes right. That doesn't work with God. That's not the way he does things. Everything is small, allowed to be trampled upon to regrow. The parable of the mustard seed, how it grows into an incredible tree. The apostle that he picks, rough men, not doctors of the law, but weak, sinful men, Matthew the tax collector. He is born a helpless infant. God, the creator of heaven and earth, becomes an infant, again, diminutive. Born a helpless infant, unknown for 30 years. And then when he does begin his public ministry, what happens? Persecution, misunderstanding, being chased from town to town, falsely accused, finally tried, murdered, hung on a cross, and then buried. We know what happens. He rises. But it goes through that stage of being trampled upon. It's not a Napoleonic or a nuclear war that I am the king and here I am to establish my kingdom. And in that, he has paved the way for you and I, because many times we don't understand what the message of Christ is. It is a message of less, which leads to more. And we know that term nowadays. Less is more. Because, my brothers and sisters, he has called us to a greatness that he himself shares with the Father, which is divinity itself. Divinity itself. Because we too, in our human frailty, must follow Jesus in our weakness, be buried in the earth, and at the appointed time, be raised up to the glory of God the Father. Then the Father will clothe us will clothe our mortal nature with immortality and endow our corruptible nature with incorruptibility. In a nutshell, that is our story. That is our present moment, and that is our glorious future. We must reflect on that. We must pray on that. We must meditate on that. So that we can conclude with St. Augustine that the great science of Christianity is that to know that we are nothing and that we can do nothing without God. We came out of nothing. We were made out of nothing. And we must allow God to do his work in us. St. Ambrose says, give God the space to allow to work in your nothingness. But what gets in the way is that darn original sin that we have inherited. That might is right. That once I become a follower of God, everything is going to go according to what I think things should go. Is not everything free gift? Have we done anything for God to make us a human instead of a deer, or a plant, or a beetle? We are part of creation, and he chose you and I to be made in his image, but we have a right to nothing. We have done nothing. We have obliged him to do nothing. His existence is pure gift. And he says today on Good Shepherd Sunday, I give my sheep eternal life. In the first reading, when he asked the apostle, it concludes, the disciples were filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. That is what to follow Christ in the diminutive form, sometimes not understanding, many times not understanding our lives. The joy, not always the happiness, but the joy of knowing that we have a brother that has gone before us, filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. And in the gospel he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they know me. How do we hear his voice amidst cell phones and TV and all the bombardment? I mean, you know, it's another appendage that we have, the iPhone or anything. How do we hear his voice? How can we be filled with joy in the Holy Spirit amidst the turbulence of our hearts, our minds, of our souls, in our families, in the world, in our country? Well, number one is by praying, by keeping connected to hear the voice of God, stopping and listening to his voice in the midst of noise, asking the Holy Spirit to help us discern his voice in our lives. And with any decision that we have, with any problem that we have, to go to him in prayer. And finally, my brothers and sisters, visiting him in the Blessed Sacrament. Visiting him in the Blessed Sacrament. In that prison, in that tabernacle that he is day and night waiting for us. We read in Luke chapter 6, verse 19, power came forth from him, and he healed them all. When Christ was amongst them, us, 2,000 years ago, he healed them of their anxieties, of their insecurities, of their indecisions. He gave them now a plan of life that meant not understanding always, but that if they came to him, he would help them carry their cross. And he healed them of their demons, of their illnesses, of their weaknesses. They're being puzzled. Jesus in the tabernacle today, in every Catholic church, locked up day and night, waiting for us to heal us, has the same power that he had 2,000 years ago as he walked the earth. It's the same Jesus. It's no different. Our faith is clear on this. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, is there in the tabernacle, alive, body, soul, and divinity. Thus, with eyes that see, ears that hear, hands that move, and a mouth that can speak. But we don't hear. We don't listen. Not only do we not hear or listen, we don't even visit. The abandoned tabernacle is something that we need to think about. And we cannot call ourselves Catholic. You cannot call yourself a Catholic if you don't believe that the same Christ that walked the earth 2,000 years ago is right now, as I speak, locked up. St. Manuel Gonzalez Garcia, the bishop of the abandoned tabernacle, states that we have faith in all this as Catholics, but it is a faith that is in the head but doesn't come down to the heart. He further states that religious indifference to Jesus in the tabernacle and public and of so many sins, public and private, is not the lack of knowledge that he is there, but it is an actualization that he is there. And we know that. We know that we talk before Mass, and we talk during Mass, and we talk after Mass, and clergy included, that we will never talk. I know growing up in Philadelphia with these huge libraries, and I was a third grader, and you would say anything in the library, and there was a library. I was like, you couldn't speak. Somebody would go into a movie theater, in the middle of the movie, start a conversation that everybody can hear. Someone goes to the usher and said, this couple has to be kicked out. I paid $10 for this movie. They're louder than the Avengers noise that they're making. It's not a social hall. We are here in the midst of Christ as he was 2,000 years ago. So my brothers and sisters, again, Jesus states to us that his power is made perfect in weakness. The weakness, Christ, God, our Creator, is here. The weakness of himself and his voice that wants to be heard by us. So let us be good sheep, hearing his voice. Let us take the time to listen to him. Let us shut up. Let us open our ears. Let us and help us him heal us from whatever we need healing. So that with the second reading that we hear in Revelation, that is our story. Revelations, we need to read it over and over again because it's an amazing plan of a future. We'll be able to reflect Revelation in our lives. And the last reading line today of Revelation is this. We heard it, I'll repeat it. For the Lamb who is in the center of the throne, the Lamb is in the center of the throne in between the Father and the Holy Spirit, Christ, in that throne, but he's also in the throne right here, right now, and he will shepherd us, leading us to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Do we really believe that? Do we really believe that God is here and he has the same power that he had 2,000 years ago? If that were the case, you couldn't find room in chapel. You couldn't find room in Catholic churches. It's the abandoned tabernacle. Let us pray that we have the humility and the intelligence and the foresight to come before our God, enthroned in a padded white little metal box, that he wants to heal us, teach us, and that we may hear his voice.